you ready to move to agenda number 9? I can call it.
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay, agenda item number 9 is $1 million budget investment in Housing First.
Matt, am I slated to speak to that, or are you speaking to it?
You are agendized for that item.
Okay, I'll speak to it. I asked for this item to be on the agenda, and the reason I asked for it is because we've got new members on the Finance Committee and a variety of new members on the board, and each year we allocate $1 million to the Housing Division for the Housing First program, which provides services, housing, and an entryway into services to BHS for people that are homeless, and they then have access to AOTA services for either mental, for AOTA for alcohol treatment or substance use treatment, whether it be an opiate disorder. And I'm not questioning our support of doing that allocation, but I've been thinking for some time, and I spoke to Matt, and just in Matt saying that they're, you know, we're going after an additional, you know, looking for additional $1 million for in the opiate settlement for alcohol treatment. And now that we have the new crisis, 24 crisis beds with the apartments that will have no rent attached to them for people that are homeless, I'm wondering if the $1 million could be specifically have some allocation track that once people enter into the Housing First program, and if it's determined that they have, they go into treatment and they have an opiate addiction, if they can then be transferred out of the Housing First dollars into the, a track that has the opiate dollars attached to it, versus being using the $1 million in the Housing First track. Because as many of you know, I have been an advocate for being able to treat alcohol addiction because it is such a prevalent addiction. When Mary Terragino was the head judge, she and I had a very deliberate conversation that very, very, very often the alcohol addiction is not treated in the family, and they treat the opiate addiction or, you know, the other chemical, and the alcohol doesn't get treated, and then it ends up adding to a failure in the treatment program. So that was a thought that I had, and just to provide this education to the board as a whole so they know why we are giving the Housing Division $1 million, not to just rubber stamp it, but I think our board needs to be educated, particularly when we're making such a large allocation. So that was what I wanted to speak to. Any thoughts? Ken, what do you think about doing something like being able to separate out funding and bring it elsewhere once people move into Housing First? Does that make sense to you, or am I to be able to save some of that money and for alcohol treatment?
Well, I have to do some more research, Mary. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the full proposal that you said.
Let me just re-synopsize that. What I'm saying is, you know, we give the $1 million to Housing First, so that provides housing and then entry into treatment for BHS for people that have addictions, have mental health and or an addiction. And what I'm proposing is we look for a way, if people are coming into treatment for alcohol, we'd be able to fund their alcohol treatment. But if they're coming in for an opiate addiction, we use a different stream of funding for the opiate addiction and save the greater part of the $1 million for treatment for mental health and or alcohol addiction.
So if I follow you right, are you saying like not, we would use the money for housing?
No. We give it to Housing First, just as we do now. Mm-hmm. And they use it the way they have been. But if somebody has an opiate addiction, they can separate that individual out and use a different funding stream for them once they go into treatment.
It'll be a great opportunity to do that if that's possible. So absolutely. I don't know the extent of housing, like based off of their assessment, are they identifying individuals that have an opioid use disorder? Are they, you know, is that part of the assessment for housing? Or how would they determine that an individual have that diagnosis?
I don't know. I don't know if they do or if it's possible or it was just something I've been thinking about to extend the dollars to be able to treat more people with an alcohol addiction.
And I understand that, Mary. We can definitely have a conversation. I know I owe you a phone call or two.
Okay.
But
so
it's definitely innovative.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for hearing me.
Any other questions, comments? Are that better? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. We do have folks in the housing division here. If the committee would appreciate some feedback from them or a brief synopsis from them, or we could agendize it at a later date. It's up to you if that's what you want to do.
If they're prepared to comment, then that'll go ahead.
Sure. Comment would be good.
Hey, everyone, Eric Collins, Deputy Administrator. That's pretty large, echo. There, that's a little better. We can send out again, Chairman Neubauer, and send it out to the new folks regarding our program. One point of clarity that I think would be helpful for new folks is, and this is our fault because we're not creative with naming programs, is Housing First is really just the philosophy we operate within all our housing programs. The actual funding from BHS, $1 million, goes to our street outreach and our case management, so it's service connection from the street. And the case management dollars provide services specifically to folks with mental health and substance abuse issues. In addition to that, some recent update on the funding side in terms of the opioid issue. We do have some opioid settlement funding specifically on our street outreach team that works directly on the street. We have two treatment navigators that started on February 5th this year. And their specific goal on the street is to work with our team to connect individuals to harm reduction, MAT, treatment. It's a service we've never had before. And so we're essentially leveraging the funds that we received from you guys for our folks that work on the street to add that additional service with other funding. So I think that point of clarity is helpful. And again, it's our lack of creativity on the name, in that the annual funding specifically goes to our street presence and then to our contracted case management services for those individuals. So there's several hundred program participants at that case management service provision. Thanks.
Can I also add some information about our SUD funding that might be helpful to this conversation and to the board members? I'm mute, but I think you told me to go ahead. I'll take that as a yes. Thank you. Yeah. So, Mary, I really appreciate your thoughts on this and the recommendation of it, because we have definitely identified that we have a lot of individuals with substance use disorders, and specifically alcoholism, here in the state of Wisconsin and here in Milwaukee County specifically. And that's one of the reasons why we did a specific opioid proposal to be able to use it for individuals with alcoholism. And I'll explain why here in a second. So our funding sources, besides tax levy, so all of our federal funding sources, all of our state funding sources that start with the feds, go to Wisconsin, the state, and then come to us, all require the prioritization, and that you have to follow the prioritization of funding individuals in SUD treatment. And so it's pregnant women using IVs, IV drug users fully, and then opioids of any form behind that. So the other, you know, substances, and especially alcoholism, come so low behind that we have a difficulty getting to that. But we recognize that need, and one of the things is that the only dollars that we have that are flexible, and we can say, hey, we can use this specifically for alcohol, we don't have to wait between tax levy, but also the opioid settlement dollars. Opioid settlement dollars, although they're part of the opioid, they say opioids in them, and that's what the major part of the lawsuit was, a certain percentage of those funds can be used to treat all substance use disorders. And so us being able to get that award and use it will be helpful in the same way that the housing services uses their funds that we give them to go to the area that they don't have a lot of funding sources for, right? There's not a lot of other funding sources they can use to do street outreach, to do the case management and services that happen. And so we're trying to use those flexible spending dollars in the best way that we can. And again, I appreciate your push about it, and I think it's good for us to try to think outside the box of how we can continue to get people the services. So that's why, you know, our proposals that went into the Milwaukee County overseers of the opioid dollars, one had the one where we can use some dollars specifically to address alcoholism and other substances. We also added, requested money to add to our own infrastructure so that we can try to address substance use disorders even more, so we can do marketing campaigns, we can have project management to help us oversee the dollars we're awarded, and also the awards that we are looking to create the RFP for. We did an RFI to see how many service providers, treatment service providers, would be interested in additional funding to either expand beds or open new facilities, and we had such a high increase that we now have to put that out for request for proposal. And so those are the ways that we're trying to use these flexible spending dollars that don't have the federal requirements on them to try to address the needs. So I thought I would just bring that up to help everybody understand some of those requirements. And as you continue to think of other ways that we can use the dollars and make those recommendations for us so that we can follow up.
Let's schedule a meeting because I have lots of ideas.
Okay, we sure can.
Okay, thank you, Amy.
Thank you. Are there any other items to come before the committee?